verses 1 to 12. Then Jesus said to the crowds and to his disciples, "The teachers of the law and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. So you must obey them and do everything they tell you. But do not do what they do, for they do not practice what they preach. They tie up heavy loads and put them on men's shoulders, but they themselves are not willing to lift a finger to move them. Everything they do is done for men to see. They make their phylacteries wide and the tassels on their garments long. They love the place of honor at banquets and the most important seats in the synagogues. They love to be greeted in the marketplaces and to have men call them rabbi. But you are not to be called rabbi, for you have only one master, and you are all brothers. And do not call anyone on earth father, for you have one father, and he is in heaven. Nor are you to be called teacher, for you have one teacher, the Christ. The greatest among you will be your servant, for whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted." This is the word of God.
So let's go ahead and pray together this morning, if you don't mind. Lord, we're just before you today as your people here to learn. Lord, we ask that you open our hearts to your word today. And Lord, I ask that these words you've given me to speak, that they come out the way that you want them to, and that they will land where you need them to accomplish what you want accomplished today in this place. In Jesus' name, amen. Yeah. So we just passed Halloween, and I was remembering back to when I was in elementary school, and I decided I wanted to win the Halloween costume contest down at the carnival, down at the school. And I decided I wanted to be the Hunchback of Notre Dame. So I made a costume, you know, and I put a pillow up here for my hunch, and I thought I was doing good. But for some reason, my dad decided he wanted to be part of this. And this was unusual for him, but I don't know, some reason he just decided he wanted to be part of this. And he said that he liked my costume, it was pretty good, but that he had something that would really put it over the top, that could really make it great. And I listened to him because I knew that before he had kids, you know, he had been in the theater. He'd done a little acting, he'd been a prop person, he'd done these things. So I couldn't wait to see what it was he was going to offer me, you know. So he goes up in his closet and he pulls down this old green tin box. And he opens up this thing. And the smell that comes out was just amazing. And what it was his old makeup kit. Yeah. And it was like so good. It had all these brushes and pencils in it. It had these cans of foundation makeup and grease paint, the real grease paint, you know, and all kinds of stuff. And best of all, in this little container, he opens it up and there's putty. And he starts working that putty, you know. He gets it all soft in his hands. He puts it on my face. He made this whole nose for me. And then he puts this other thing up here over my eye. I'm not sure what he was going for, but it looked really gruesome, you know. It's up here. And then he takes the grease paint and he starts to work that into the putty and into my face. And then he powders it and he puts different kinds of, you know, shadows and colors on it. And he shows me what I look like. And it was fantastic. I look nothing like myself. Man, I'm telling you what. I looked like the Hunchback. Then he says, "Look, I didn't go to all this trouble to do this today for you to lose this contest. So what I want you to do is," and he told me some pointers about how to present myself as this Hunchback. So we get down there to the auditorium, you know, and all the kids are lined up in front of the judges. And then they all start making this circle. You ever seen that where they just walk in a circle and the judges look at the costumes? And I join in the circle, but I do what my dad told me to do. I lift up my shoulder, you know, and I kind of dangle my arm down here, and I'm dragging my leg behind me, you know, and I'm keeping my face up, this face that he created for me. I am keeping that face up, and I am looking angry, and I am hunchbacking my way for all I'm worth around this circle, just around and around and around until suddenly someone taps me on the shoulder. And I hear this voice. It's a judge says, okay, Chris, that's enough. That's enough. And I look around. And all the other kids are kind of just sitting down, you know. And I'm still just going around this circle, just hunchbacking my way. I was so into this thing. And, of course, needless to say, you know, I won the first prize. Thank you. I want to say it was the highlight of my life, but not exactly. But I did. And the thing that was so cool was, you know, I really understood how they appreciated my little, you know, costume and my performance, especially my dad did, you know. And I was so proud of my performance, I repeated it at the cakewalk, you know, just to be sure in case anybody missed it. But it's the first time I really understood or really felt, you know, in a powerful way, that you can really get accolades, you can really get applause, you can really get affirmation by appearing to be something that you're not. Now, that's a good thing at Halloween, and it's a good thing for actors on a stage, but it's not such a good thing in our daily lives, right? We really don't want to have too much difference between who we really are and how we appear on the outside to others. What we want to do as people is shoot for a little more genuineness, or what they call these days, genuinity. And I think that kind of genuinity that's actually rooted in humility is something that's a gift that we give to ourselves and that we give to each other and that we really give to God. So it makes a big difference. And I think that's part of what's happening in this passage here today as Jesus gives these Pharisees a really hard time. Now, you remember the Pharisees were those religious leaders who kind of deserved to be given a hard time, because they were driving everybody else nuts, remember, with all of the rules and the regulations that they had built up around their religion, about how to practice their religion. Remember, God had given some guidelines to people about how they could be his people. He'd given those guidelines to Moses, and Moses had given them to the people. The Ten Commandments were some of those guidelines, those kind of rules about how we ought to interact with each other to have good relationships. Like, try not to lie about each other, try not to steal from each other, do all those things. But then he also gave those should-tos, the things that we should do in our relationship with God. Like, put him above everything else. Be devoted to God. Set aside time to worship him. Honor God. And let that honor and respect for God sort of also spread out to the people around us. So God had given these good guidelines, but over the centuries, Pharisees and others had added all of these religious rules and regulations and ritual that became a real burden to the people. They just couldn't keep up with it. It's like these days in business. Does anybody in here own a business? You hear this a lot. If you own a business or if you're a doctor, they say this a lot. The rules and the regulations that they have to follow, the agencies that they have to attend to, make it really difficult to just run a business. And a lot of times it creates a wedge between that person and their love for that business, the business that they wanted to do in the first place. These regulations that the Pharisees had, these religious rules, were having the effect of driving a wedge between the people and God, their ability to worship God, the way that God wanted them to worship him. See? It was a real problem. And what it also did is it kind of created two classes of people. You had these people who were trying to live their daily lives, trying to figure out how to be with God. These people who were getting the message that they could never be good enough, they could never follow all the rules, they could never please God. And then you had this other class of these priests, this priestly class, that's all they did in their lives was live up to the rules. And they began to really lord it over people. They began to become very show-offy about their religion, how religious they were. They became very stuck in their opinions. They became very stuck on the way that they viewed themselves, and they became very stuck on their position in society. And that's where Jesus really had a problem with them, a real problem with them. Because you see, they were being hypocritical, not in that they had made up all these rules and they couldn't follow them. They were following them. The hypocrisy came in the fact that they were supposed to be the leaders to help the people find their way towards God. And what had happened was they'd become so wrapped up in these rules and so devoted to the rules that they'd stop being devoted to God. But they kept that position as priests. So there they were, appearing to be people devoted to God, appearing to be leaders, but actually just being devoted to themselves and their position, their power. Well, Jesus had a problem with that. He had a real problem with it. And in fact, Jesus felt more comfortable hanging out with the people that the Pharisees said were sinners beyond redemption, people like tax collectors who were reviled in this society, people like prostitutes. Those are the people that Jesus would hang out with rather than these religious leaders. And he would hang out with those people because they were a people who had no illusions about who they were. They had no illusions about their brokenness. They had no illusions about how much they needed God. They had a genuinity that was rooted in humility about themselves that Jesus responded to. It was a gift to Jesus. And so that's where Jesus would hang out. That's where Jesus would be. He would be with those people. Jesus told a story once about two people who were praying in the temple. One was a Pharisee, one of those religious class, and the other was just a tax collector. And the Pharisee is standing there and he's praying, Jesus said, all about himself. He's praying, he's saying, oh Lord, I thank you that I'm not like other people. I thank you that I'm not an adulterer and an evildoer. I thank you that I am not like that tax collector over there. And he goes on to tell God all the great things that he's doing, how he gives so much to the temple and how he fasts on the right days. It's all about him. But then Jesus kind of turns the camera over to the tax collector, and the tax collector is praying this simple prayer. Oh, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. It was that kind of person that Jesus lifted up as the example of one who is closer to God. Closer to God. It was those kinds of people that Jesus had gathered around him in this story that we heard today, to whom he says this, paraphrasing what he said. You all are brothers and sisters. You all should see each other as equal. Equal in your flawedness, in your sin. Equal in your need for God's grace. You should see each other as equal, as brothers and sisters with one Father who's God. See each other as equal, as brothers and sisters, as people who are struggling to learn from one teacher. The Christ. Brothers and sisters, who in your humility about who you really are, can have that kind of genuinity that actually opens the door to being able to reach other people, to reach other people for Christ. It really opens the door, makes us the kinds of people that others might listen to. It's that genuinity that's rooted in humility. Now, you know, most of us here probably don't have a big problem with acting more religious than we really are. But there are other ways that we can be prone to pretend in our lives that really does create a barrier between us and really finding that genuinity that we want, that we need, and that is such a gift to God. For one thing, like me, I'm really an opinionated person. I really am. I mean, you don't get to be my age, you know, and not have some opinions about why you think this is happening and that is happening, and some theories about why, you know, by cracky, we ought to take care of it one way or another. Well, you can't even say by cracky unless you get my age. But I have opinions. But what I've come to learn is that my wife is just about as old as I am, and she has opinions too. Yeah. And most of the time, they don't match up. And what we've had to really understand in our relationship, if it's going to have a chance at all, is that we have to love each other more than we dislike each other's opinion, number one. And number two, really to understand, to have a little humility about our opinions. That, you know, just because I disagree with someone or I think an opinion is downright wrong, it doesn't make that opinion illegitimate. People can take the same set of facts and come to wildly different conclusions because of who they are and where they've been and what they know and all of that. And we need to have a little humility in a relationship and everywhere. A little humility about our opinions that says, you know, maybe I don't know everything. Otherwise, we start pretending like we do. And as soon as we start pretending that we know it all and we've got it all figured out, well, then we're starting to veer over into Pharisee land, right? We're going to lose that ability to be genuine, to have that genuinity that really can reach across those divides between us and really make a difference for Christ. I think also we need to have humility, humility about the way we view ourselves. Now, the best place, I think, the best place to really see who we really are is in prayer. But have you ever noticed this? When the need is clearest for us to see ourselves clearly, that's when we want to pray the least. And there's a good reason for that. Because in prayer is where we're liable to start hearing those voices or feeling those nudges or getting that message, you know, that maybe we ought to try a little harder. Maybe we ought to be a little kinder. Maybe we ought to do something a little different. And if we don't want to hear that, we don't want to pray. But, you know, we need to have a little humility in that situation. We need to find out, you know, how we can be a little different sometimes. To have a little humility about who we think we are. Otherwise, we're going to get into pretending that we really are perfect, that we really have it all together, and we know that that's just not true. So we want to have a little humility about the way we view ourselves. And you know, we want to have a little humility, I think, as leaders, and every one of us in here is a leader in some place or other. Either it's in our businesses, at our work, or it's here in church, or it's especially, I think, in our homes, in our families. We need to have some humility to help our kids especially understand that all of us are equal under the authority and the leadership and the grace of God. I know you know this, but just in case you don't, your kids know that you mess up sometimes. They know that we make mistakes. They know that sometimes we fly off the handle and we say things we shouldn't, that we're impatient. And guess what else I think kids, even if they can't articulate it, they also know that sometimes they're pushing our buttons, that sometimes they want to get under our skin. That's why I think it's so important to be together in prayer as families, where we can actually, truly, honestly lift up those things that we know that we have, where we failed. Ask God's forgiveness in the presence of that family, and then ask each other forgiveness. What better way is there to train up our children to understand that all of us are equal under the authority and leadership of God, and every single one of us is in desperate need of His grace always and every day. We need to have that kind of humility that breeds a genuinity, that is really a gift to ourselves and to others, and even a gift, I think, to God. You know, actors, they get a lot of applause, and sometimes we think it's just amazing at how they can be so different from who they really are. They can appear to be something completely different, and it's amazing to us. But have you ever noticed the actors that we really love the best? The ones that really make a difference in our lives, those stars, the ones that we wish we could be like, they have a genuineness about them, don't they? It's those actors who seem like the parts they play are not so different from who they really are. That they have whatever those qualities are that we like, integrity, strength, honor. And it seems like, and you hear stories that they are just the same way in real life as they are on screen. Those are the actors that we're drawn to. And listen, those are the people that we're drawn to in our lives too. And those are the kinds of people that we want to be. Genuinity comes out of a root of humility. To be a little humble about our opinions, about the way we view ourselves, a little humble in the way that we lead others. So that, you know, we can give that genuinity as a gift to ourselves, to others, and to God. And we can really reach people for Christ. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we do pray that you'll help us to never fall into those traps of hypocrisy. That you help us more and more become your people. And that more and more you help us realize who we really are, O God. So that we can be genuine. And genuinely reach others for you. We pray this in your name. Amen.